Last week we talked about the first commandment, and this was from Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. I just want to read that again, because he brought out some areas of how we can truly fulfill the commandment of loving the Lord. And in Mark 12 and verse 30, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And, you know, this is how we can fulfill all of the law, is through loving the Lord. But yet we see these four kind of components of this and how we can do that. And last week we looked at the mind, you know, how we have to get a control of the mind. And because really that's where the things really get into us. They come in through our thoughts. You know, we say they come into our ear and into our hearts, but really they got to pass through our mind. If we don't understand that, and you know, it's the mind where they enter in. And so if we can get a hold of that, you know, as we learned last week, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, and if we can do that, we're way ahead of the game. You know, if we can get strengthened in our mind to love the Lord our God with all of our mind. But, you know, we can deal with a thought, but what it really comes down to is the effect on our heart, isn't it? Right? If that thought can get through our mind, it passes through. Maybe it can sneak through the 12 gates and then it gets into our heart. That's where it causes a lot of trouble, doesn't it? Because we have to remember the words of Jesus here. I was just thinking of what he said in another gospel in Matthew 15. If we could read this together. I want to read a few verses from Matthew 15, and we'll start off at verse 10, where he's talking about the heart and the importance of the heart. And here I want to look at this other area of how we can truly love the Lord is with all of our heart. And so Matthew 15 and verse 10, it says, "He came to a multitude, and he said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out. This defiles a man." And, you know, here he was previously dealing with the Pharisees, right? They were chiding him because he wasn't following their rituals that they said, well, if you follow this, you're clean, right? Whereas he knew the truth. You know, he was saying, it's not what goes in. It's not, you know, if you wash your hands and if you don't wash your hands and you eat and something, some germ or, you know, bacteria gets in there, you're not unclean in God's sight. You just get sick. But you're not unclean. See, what makes us unclean is what comes out, what comes from the heart. And his disciples were like, but Lord, this is kind of radical. What does this mean? And so they came to them and he answered them in verse 17. He says, Do you not yet understand? Whatever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile us. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man. And so the Jews kind of had it backwards. They were very concerned with the outward. They followed their rituals. They washed their hands. They stayed away from the Gentiles, right, from things unclean. And they considered themselves holy and acceptable unto God. And the Lord wanted to set them straight. He wanted to show them the most important thing of how we can love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Has little to do with the outward, but everything to do with our heart and what's going on in the inside. You know, they had no regard for that. It's like they didn't even comprehend that of the heart. You know, because at one time they can say, I'm holy, I'm clean, I can offer the sacrifices. And at the same time, you know, he was saying, well, you have murder and you have envy and you have jealousy in your heart. It's these things to deal with. And, you know, that we understand that in the New Testament, but that was a new concept for them back in the days of Jesus. And look at that phrase, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Out of the heart. We see that association. You know, we need to deal with the thought life, right? Because it's those evil thoughts that come. but it's really in the heart. Jesus' concern is that we have a right heart, that our heart be right with him. You know, he saw the Jews doing all of those outward things, but from their lips, right, those things were coming that were unclean and were making them unclean. And so Jesus is very much concerned about the state of our heart. And of course, there's that verse in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, where the writer is giving a warning here. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, keep, or that Hebrew word actually means guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, the most important issues in life, the things that will affect our eternity, they all deal with having a right heart. And if we guard our heart, we will have a right eternity. You know, but when we keep it unguarded, that's when we get into a lot of trouble. And so we can fulfill the love of God by loving him with a right heart. Now, I wanted to just look at three things with this. I know this is kind of a simplistic thing, you know, love him with all of your heart, have a heart for God. But I want to look at three things that I think will enable us, or have, you know, will impact our ability to love the Lord with all of our heart. And the first thing we have to consider about our heart is that it has a tendency to become unclean. Our heart gravitates towards things that will defile us and make us unclean. Right? Sometimes thoughts slip through the guards of our mind, the eight gates we talked about last week. They get lodged in our heart, and boy, do they cause us trouble. You know, they start to stir us up and stir up our feelings and our desires and our emotions and so forth, and we can become unclean. You know, maybe not even because of things it doesn't even come out of our mouths yet, but yet it's in there. Maybe some bad attitudes or some lusts or some jealousies or, you know, so forth. All of those things that can start to stir up in our hearts, and eventually they come out of our mouths, and that's, you know, where the trouble comes. But the worst thing that can happen to us is if those things remain, if we allow them to stay in there. They can kind of fester and, you know, really, really cause us trouble. Probably cause us to harden our hearts. And so the key is to become clean. You know, David experienced this in his life. Of course, that it was in a very serious way, wasn't it? Right? He allowed a thought to get into his heart, and it became an action. You know, and we're familiar with the story of Bathsheba. And it took him quite a while. If you kind of consider the whole context, I mean, it was months with the Lord dealing with him, of him hiding his sin, and then the Lord revealing it through the prophet. But, you know, eventually he came to the Lord, and he prayed a prayer, and it's recorded for us. And really, it's one of the most powerful prayers that, as we read in Psalm 51, here's what the first thing he realized he needed to do. He had become unclean. Not in a ritual way. Well, yeah, actually in a ritual way, he was very unclean, right? He should have been put to death. But he realized before even that, he had to deal with the heart. Psalm 51 and verse 10, and here was David's cry, Lord, create in me a clean heart. O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. And those are kind of amazing words. I mean, there's a lot of meaning there. Very poetic. And, you know, you can instantly kind of, you know, make that into a song and the cry of our heart. In fact, we have that song that we sing. All right, because it's a cry that we need to have. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Because sometimes those things will get in there, and they're lodged in there, and sometimes we have no ability to get them out, right? We're struggling. We're trying to get rid of those thoughts and those feelings that are in our hearts and those desires, and we're saying, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be a better person, and of course, that doesn't work out. And so we have to come to that place like David. Lord, create in me a clean heart. And you know, the Lord is so gracious, isn't he? He's so gracious to come and cleanse our hearts and make us new. But it's vital that we do that. And really, it speaks of coming to that place of surrender. Because that's what David was doing. When he was saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart, he's saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. And he says that earlier in Psalm 51, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. All right, so he comes to that place of surrender and acknowledgement, but then he says, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I surrender to you. And it's amazing how the Lord can set our heart free from those things. He can cleanse us, whether it's the small things in life that are getting to us or the big things like David went through, things that you often don't make it through. By the grace of God and the mercy of God, he made it, but I think it was because of the cry of his heart. Lord, give me a new heart. God was able to work in him. You know, David, he says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean, wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. He knew, he believed that God can do these things in his life. And so he came and submitted to him. And the Lord can do all things in us when we come to him in that way. Lord, I need some cleansing. Lord, in fact, I need a new heart. I've had a realization that I'm the person that I am is not the person I want to be. Lord, do something new. And so David cried out and he received a new heart. And we know he received a new one because, you know, he has a promise of a future in the millennium. He'll reign as king over Jerusalem because he got a new heart from God. And so, you know, if we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, this is a place we're going to have to come back to many times. And we want to be practice that. Lord, give me a clean heart. Give me a new heart. But, you know, once our heart is clean and we're at that place where, right, we're set free from that, you know, we have a realization that something needs to continue. Something has to happen within our hearts, right? Because we can be cleansed, but after we've been cleansed from seeking those other things, we realize that there's a fire that's the Lord's rekindled within our hearts, right? He's renewed something, and that has to be carefully tended to. You know, William Booth, he had a lot of amazing things in his life, and he said a lot of amazing things, you know, set up the Salvation Army, as we're familiar with. But the words that I always remember from him are some of his last words that were shared by his followers. You know, when he was on his deathbed, he shared with those around him, he said these words. He said, tend to the fire, for the nature of fire is to go out. And that's something to remember, right? We can say, Lord, cleanse me, give me a new heart, and he does it. And we say, all right, praise the Lord, I've gotten the victory. But you know, the very next day, you know what the nature of fire is to do? It is to go out. it is to diminish. And if we don't tend to that so carefully, in fact, that's usually what gets us in trouble in the first place, right? We haven't tended to the fire and it's gone low, and right, the light of his fire is not there as it was before, and we step in a hole and we get in trouble. The nature of fire is to go out. And it's so true in our Christian journey. The fire of our love for Jesus will grow dim unless we tend to it, unless we jealously guard that fire. You know, you can think of back in the olden days, you know, travelers, they would jealously guard their fire because that was their way. You know, if they didn't have a fire, they didn't have a way to cook their meal and keep warm and so forth. But that's the same with us. We're traveling on a, you know, in our journey, and it's only the fire of Jesus that's going to keep us and help us to continue on our journey. And so we have to tend to the fire. You know, we studied in Revelation that church of Ephesus. I mean, they had a record of service that is enviable, right? I wouldn't mind our church if we had a record of service where the Lord said, oh, you've served, you've given yourself, you've labored. That's a good record. But that was, you know, that was on the outward. On the inward, we know that they had neglected that. They had let the fire of their love grow so dim that it was basically out. And Jesus said, relight that fire, or you're going to lose all the good things you've accomplished. And so we have to tend to that fire, that fire burns brightly within us. You know, we have to follow the example of the wise virgins. They guarded that oil to never let it go down. You know, not that they guarded it to never use it, but they guarded that fact of they weren't going to let someone else take their oil, right? They had labored to have that oil. They had carefully accumulated that in their life. They weren't going to let that go anywhere else but in their lamp so that they could meet the Lord. You know, that's the heart we so desperately need. And sometimes our oil can get low. And it's not just because we did something, you know, we poked a hole in our lamp and the oil's flowing out. Sometimes it's just life, right? In fact, the nature of oil is to burn and to reduce, isn't it? Right? The more we burn our lamp, the more oil we need. And so oil will naturally decrease in our life. And so it's so vital that we do what it takes to increase that, to refill it. To top it off, Pastor Bailey used to always talk about, you know, the Holy Spirit was kind of like, you need to top it off as you top off the oil in your engine. You know, it's always leaking oil some way or burning oil, and we have to top it off. And so it's so vital that we come away to the Lord. And sometimes we need to do something radical. Lord, I'm going to fast and pray because I need more oil. Or Lord, I'm just going to come away with you. Lord, I'm going to go to the secret place. And I know I usually have my list of things that I pray for, but Lord, today, I just want to meet with you. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes we need to put away our prayer lists and only pray for the top one. Lord, I want to meet with you. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Lord, I want you to work in my life so that we can have that oil revived. We will be much more productive in our prayer time if we're topped off with the oil of the Spirit. And then if we're low on oil and we're just kind of praying through our list and the missionaries and all the requests, we need that oil. And so sometimes we need to go to the secret place and spend some quality time with them. You know, sometimes that thought of quality time is diminishing these days, right? It's the digital age, right? We all have our devices and our faces are glued to our devices. You know, sometimes Sarah and I will be together and we'll get a phone call or an email and we're sitting there together, but we're both looking at our devices like this. We're spending time together, but it's not quality time. So sometimes we have to put our devices away and say, okay, no more phone calls, no more emails. We need quality time. But that's true with the Lord. Because if we don't make that time, one thing we know for sure is that our oil will run out. The flame will go low. And so we want to guard our hearts. And really, it's guard the oil in our lamps. Guard the flame, that fire, so that it will burn brightly for the Lord, you know, by coming to the secret place through worshiping Him. Sometimes maybe it's just pouring out our heart. Lord, these are my needs. Lord, these are my requests, and I pour it out to you. And you know, it's amazing how we can pour out our heart to Him. And what He replaces is His oil, the oil of His Spirit, the oil of joy for mourning. But we have to come to Him and pour out. He wants to fill us with His oil and His wine and give us a heart to follow Him. One last thought I wanted to just consider, and this is another thought of David. And it's in Psalm 57. In Psalm 57 in verse 7. And this was written by David when he was hiding out from Saul. In fact, he was hiding from Saul in a cave. Right, he was on the run, on the lam, you could say. But here was his cry. With everything he was going through, he said, Lord, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Now, when you consider the context, that is quite something to pray. You would think his prayer would be, Lord, where are you? Saul is right there, and I'm hiding out in the cave, and I have nowhere to go. But yet David's cry, even in that situation of danger, was, Lord, my heart is fixed. Lord, I'm just trusting in you. I'm just keeping my heart focused upon you. And so that's the thought. If we're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, we need a heart that's fixed upon the living God. And that word fixed in the Hebrew, it means established, prepared, steadfast. Lord, my heart is steadfast in your ways, in just looking to you and trusting in you and hoping in you. You know, at times our heart can gravitate to various things. But God desires to bring us to a place where our heart is just fixed in Him. It's established in Him. Now, we can go through things of life. We can have to deal with things, but it's like our heart is always just coming back to Him wherever we're going. Kind of like a compass, Right? A compass can be taken anywhere, but it always points back. It's fixed to point back to that magnetic north. Right? If our heart is fixed upon God like a compass, it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter the situation that we're in. Right? If our heart is always pointed towards God, then we'll come out triumphant, because that's the way we'll always go. And so we have to have that place where, Lord, my heart is fixed. Bring me to that place. That's not a natural place either. I'm sure it took a lot of times of seeking the Lord and a lot of times of deliverance. You know, that wasn't the only time of deliverance in David's life. He could look back and see, Lord, you delivered me this time and that time and the other time. From the time that Saul threw a javelin at me, you diverted that javelin so it didn't hit me. Lord, and here I am. He's walking into the cave that I'm in. But yet, Lord, my heart is fixed. And I'm going to trust in you. That's what got him through. And there's two thoughts with this idea of my heart is fixed. Because what did David say? My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. You see, that's the product, or that's what comes from a heart that's fixed upon God. There's nothing more important in those situations as our response to the Lord when we're in a desperate situation, when we're in difficulty, is what can help us to fix our heart upon God. Well, Lord, I'm just going to praise you. Lord, I'm going to lift up your name. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to rejoice in you. And that can cause our heart to gravitate towards God, like that needle will always turn towards north. If our heart is one to respond in rejoicing and praise, right? Sometimes our heart gets trained to respond in another way. Woe is me. Why does this always have to happen to me, right? That's what our heart wants to say. But if we can train and teach our heart to say, no, Lord, I will rejoice because my heart is fixed. It's not that some divine power comes on our heart and turns it into that. It's that we have trained ourselves by the grace of God to turn our hearts. Lord, I'm going to rejoice in you. My heart is fixed. And there's something about praising God that causes our heart to turn to him, just like that needle turns towards north. One last thought on how we can have a heart that's fixed upon him. In another psalm, Psalm 10 and verse 17. Psalm 10 and verse 17. It says, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart and cause thine ear to hear them. Now, what's interesting about this is that word for prepare, you will prepare their heart. It's actually the same Hebrew word for fix that we read earlier. Lord, you will fix their heart. Now, I know that I said that it's not like some divine power comes on you, but actually, here's what David is saying, that, you know, when we do what's right in God's sight and we humble ourselves, Lord, I'm just going to wait upon you. Lord, I'm going to rely upon you, right? When we do our part in that respect, it's as if the Lord says, well, I will fix your heart. But, you know, that's what David said. You've heard the desire of the humble. You will fix their heart. You will do that work. You will give them the power to fix their heart upon you and to walk in your way. You will cause your ear to hear. And so there's that idea that humility, and that real meaning of humility is total dependence. Right? If we will depend upon the Lord and cut the ties of our dependence upon other things, the Lord will hear. The Lord will cause our heart to turn unto him because we're humbling ourselves and waiting upon him. You know, it's kind of the idea of a servant. There's another psalm in Psalm 123 and verse 2. This thought of a servant looking to the master, Psalm 123 and verse 2, says, behold, as the eyes of a servant look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. And, you know, the psalmist is actually using an illustration of how the servants would be looking to the commands of the master, because the master would not always verbally say, "Servant, go and do this." You know, sometimes they would just motion and they would know what the master wants. And so, you know, the servants wouldn't be standing around twiddling their thumbs looking at the ceiling. They would be looking at the master waiting because they know he's going to signal me for something. You know, maybe he's meeting with someone and he's signaling, "This meeting's over. Come on, move along." Right? That those servants were looking. They had their eyes waiting upon the master. They were just they had humbled themselves to wait and to look to the commands of the master. Maybe someone would knock at the door and the master would motion, "Let him in." And so their eyes were looking. And so that's that thought of those who are humble, those who are waiting upon the Lord and looking to him. The Lord says, "I will prepare their heart. I'll cause their heart to be fixed upon me and tied to me." And so, you know, you can kind of see that concept. If we will humble ourselves, God will fix our heart upon him. And so the Lord's calling us today to love him with all of our heart. And we realize that's not a small thing, right? I mean, that's something that's amazingly challenging because it's impossible for us. But with God, all things are possible. If we'll come to him and we'll humble ourselves and we'll say, "Lord, I just need a fresh cleansing today. Lord, I need you to touch me and to turn my heart fresh. Lord, I need to fan the flame afresh in my heart today. Lord, I need my heart to be fixed upon you." The Lord is more than willing to do that. Amen. And we have a song that we can close with, and maybe we can just sing that, you know, of just a fresh cleansing, fanning the flame, and we'll come back and we'll pray together and ask the Lord to touch us afresh. Sometimes we just need a fresh touch from the Lord to be strengthened and quickened in our way. Let's just bow our heads before him. And maybe there's one of those three areas where you need a touch from the Lord. Maybe it's a fresh cleansing in some area in your life. Or maybe it's, you know, you need a renewing of the flame. You need that flame to grow higher. You need more of the oil of the Spirit. You know, a fresh pouring in of the Spirit. Or maybe you need a heart that's fixed to be pointing to that place of true north where the Lord, where we can always point back to him, and the Lord comes in, you know, that place where we need to humble ourselves, but the Lord comes in and he causes our heart to be fixed upon him. And maybe if there's one of those areas that the Lord is speaking to you, or maybe more than one, and you want to say, "Lord, come and do that in me. I need that today. You know, I can't go tomorrow without this." And if that's the case, just lift your hand to the Lord and we'll pray together. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we need you afresh today, Lord Jesus. Oh, we need you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Father, you, Lord, see, Lord, our need for you. Lord, you see the hands that have raised today, Lord, and our desperate need and desire for you and for your Spirit. Lord, would you come and bring a fresh cleansing in those areas that need to be cleansed? Oh, by the power of your blood, Lord, that can wash away and make it whiter than snow. Lord, that you'd come in and that you'd pour in the oil and the wine. God, that you'd cause the flame to grow brighter and brighter. Oh, God, again in our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord, that there would even be a fresh increase, Lord, of your love and of the fervency and the zeal, Lord, of your Spirit. Lord, you are clothed with a cloak of the zeal of the love of your Father. Lord, cause that zeal to come into our hearts. And Lord, we just pray that you would even turn our hearts afresh, cause our hearts to be fixed upon the living God, that you would be our compass, that you would be, Lord, the one that we would look to, that our eyes would be fixed upon you as a servant upon the hand of the Master. Oh, do this work afresh in our lives, we pray. Lord, we want to be those who will love you with all of our heart, that we will be men and women after your heart. Do these things in us, we pray. And we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe we can just sing that once more and just worship the Lord.